Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and I'm welcoming you this evening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And you're listening to bbsradio.com. I'm very excited to be here with you this evening, and I wish you Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. I wish you peace. Peace, peace, peace. So to this evening, I have a very special show for you, and as an appetizer, I want to discuss age. And the reason I want to discuss age with you is because some people believe that you, as you age, you can no longer have pleasure. As you age, why should you practice Tantra? As you age, you know, how can you have sexual pleasure? People believe that as, you know, I, sometimes when I'm at things like the New Life Expo in New York City or at the Expo of Heart in Fort Lauderdale, and people come by my booth, they say, and they find out that I'm teaching Tantra and I say it's about sexual energy. A lot of times they say things like, oh, I'm too old. Sometimes they say, you know, well, I don't have anyone and so it's not for me. And, you know, and basically that's based on a kind of an age equation that they're doing. And I want to let you know that there is no age limit to Tantra. There is no age limit to sexuality. Anyone can do Tantra. Anyone can have pleasure in their life. There's no age limit to having pleasure in your life. It could be perhaps that some people's hormones, well, everybody's hormones change as they age. But even that these days can be fixed. They have bioidentical hormones, which can replace some of the hormones in our bodies that give us sex urge, you know, ones that have left us. So anyone can have pleasure, and I, you know, my father is an example of that. My father, by the way, has taken my Tantra courses. He's taken a couple of them, and he's a man who still is very potent and very vibrant in his life and has sexuality and sexual urges. So to me, he's the litmus test. If he took Tantra from me and he gets to have his sexuality up into way into his late 80s, I mean, he's proof. So I want to just dispel all myths about age being a limiting factor on people's pleasure and on people's sexuality and on practicing Tantra. It's just simply a myth that that people have to put all that away. And I'm saying all of that this evening. And that's my lead-in to my phenomenal guest this evening. My guest this evening is a pioneer in the world of sexuality, especially female sexuality. She is somebody who had a vision early on, way before lots of other people had a vision. She kind of put something, she tested the waters, and she took a risk. And she pioneered something that at the time was amazing. Of course, we're going to hear all more about that. She opened the world's first store that sold sexual toys and erotic stimulation for women. And most of you will guess the name of the store because, of course, the store is my commercial. The store is my sponsor every week. This guest this evening is the founder of Eve's Garden, which has been a pioneering store, and she herself, Del Williams, is the pioneer in women's sexuality, in providing an outlet for women to feel safe enough, to feel discreet enough, to feel tasteful enough that they could find out, they could educate themselves and purchase products for themselves to experience and experiment with their own pleasure. So without further ado, I want to introduce to my audience Del Williams. Del, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Laurie. And
great.
Thank you for that lovely introduction.
You're so welcome. I love you. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't be doing this. You know,
yeah,
if you look at it.
Yes, I'm looking at one of the catalogs that I produced, you know, in the 70s, and I'm looking at the title that I used all the time, and I realized how much, in essence, I guess I was ahead of my time. Those three words said on the top page, celebrate the joy. In other words, I was coming from a culture, you know, because I started this business in 1973, I believe it was, you know, where women didn't talk about sex and women felt a little bit of shame many times about it. And society itself kind of divided women into two categories of either being a virgin or a slut, you know. And it was sort of not, there was not one book really about the topic for the general masses, so to speak. You know.
You're right.
With the exception of Kinsler, what was his name?
Kinsey, the Kinsey Report.
Right.
And what about, but we had Playboy. Didn't we have Playboy back then?
Well, Playboy came, I think, a little later. No,
I thought we had it in the 60s.
Yeah,
I thought we
right.
had Playboy in the 60s.
Yeah, but that was something that was different. That wasn't an educational thing. That was,
no.
And it was basically a place for men. But what I wanted to create is a comfortable place, that didn't have a specific porno look like some of the sex shops that existed.
Right.
That were mostly for the men. And I wanted the women to have it. And why did I want the women to have it? Was because basically I was a feminist. I came from the women's revolution, so to speak. That was my activity during the early 70s. So, I saw the need for women to have a comfortable place to be empowered to enjoy their sexuality. But maybe I'm going ahead of my story.
No, this is good. I actually want to delve into that a little bit more with you. Did you, when you told the idea, I mean, when you first got the idea and you took, did you tell it to anybody?
Well, I got the idea basically. It's a progression of how
okay.
it's formulated, Lori. It started by, the president of the New York City chapter of the National Organization for Women. Called NOW.
Mm-hmm.
Decided
yes, I've been a member of NOW in my life.
Yes. To produce, good. A sexuality conference for women. It was her idea to do that. And we had a wonderful conference attended by 1,400 women in a high school in New York City.
Wow.
And it was the first time in history that women were getting together to talk openly about sex.
Right.
Nobody
right.
talked about it then. I mean, there's such a proliferation today, but then in the early 70s, so this was so refreshing and enlightening, and we had different workshops on every topic dealing with sexuality. And one of the opening presentations was like a 2-minute talk by different women of different orientations. So we had every orientation, single, married, straight, gay, poly, bisexual, lesbian. It was everything.
Mm.
And it was refreshing, just refreshing. And we had what is called a speak out. So each woman like spoke for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was the opening. And one of the women that I introduced into the conference, that I invited into the conference, was Betty Dodson. And Betty has been an advocate for masturbation. And I met her somehow by chance before the conference and realized what she was doing. And she was actually having workshops for women, teaching them about their bodies, how to feel about it, you know, and introduce them to masturbation. And so here I was seeing it for the first time in a positive light, because I had seen it in a negative light. And
right. You mean based on your upbringing, based on the time
right,
that you grew up?
Right, that masturbation was a shame. And if
right.
anybody caught you masturbating, you know, you might as well kill yourself. I mean, it was so terrible. Really? And here the
yeah.
the enjoyable thing you could do, you know, as an intellect, I'm thinking, here's the most wonderful, adorable, wonderful, comfortable, exciting body experience we could have is denigrated, you know. And
right.
being so absolutely stupid. So she came out, and I decided to put her on first as the first speaker on the Speak Up. And, of course, she spoke about masturbation as being her only primary source of sexual satisfaction. And then I later, about that time, also took her workshop. So I, too, learned about it. And I, too, saw it. And I saw it in it, this wonderful light of why are we condemning this pleasurable experience that people are having? And seeing it, Laurie, politically, too, as something that women can experience on their own to feel strong and empowered, which is a way of my eventual goal as a feminist, which is to change the world so that the full equality between men and women, and the
right.
only way we could have it is by the women being powerful enough to speak out, okay?
Yeah,
so,
of course.
And then after Betty Dodson's workshop, and we have to give her a lot of credit because she was the one who introduced the vibrators, to us.
Can I just say something here to you that it's because of Betty Dodson.
Yeah.
Somebody, a man that I was in love with in 1972,
mm-hmm.
gave me Betty Dodson's book, Liberating Masturbation.
Right.
And I read the book from cover to cover like 100 times. I gave it to every single one of my friends. And
uh-huh.
that's how I heard about Eve's Garden.
Uh-huh.
Because you carried the book.
That's right. That's right. When I read that book, and I loved the second title under the book, the subtitle was, it was Liberating Masturbation, and then the line under that was a meditation on
self-love.
Yeah.
What a wonderful book that was. What a gift.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And she printed it herself
because
right. she couldn't get a printer who would dare to print it. So I became very enthusiastic about masturbation and seeing it as a political tool to free women from feeling shame about their bodies and sexuality
right.
and being independent. In other words, they didn't have to be reliable on a man or a partner. You know,
right. They
so,
could give themselves pleasure and set themselves free.
Right, right,
perfect.
Right, right. And let's celebrate the joy of it. And I keep hearing
mm-hmm.
the word celebrate used an awful lot in terms of sexuality now, and it's 35 years later after I wrote it. Anyway,
right, but that's because of you.
Right.
That's because of you planted the seed in all these young women.
Right, right. Young and
mm-hmm.
older women.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I often went to professional conferences held by sex educators and
mm-hmm.
therapists and counselors because I wanted them to know about Eve's Garden so
right.
that they can tell their women about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I spread the word about Eve's Garden.
Well, you did a great job. You've been doing a great job.
Yeah.
Really a great, great job. So based on this conference and, you know, your awareness of how powerful it was, mm-hmm. that's when you put together the idea to open the store?
Oh, yes, to open the store. No, I have to give you one other thing that happened.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I forgot about that. After I did Betty Dotson's workshop,
mm-hmm.
I figured I'm going to go out and get my own vibrator. Now, the ones that she advocated at the workshop were not like, you wouldn't know it's a vibrator. It wasn't a necessarily penile-shaped thing that you use for insertion, because she emphasized in the workshop clitoral stimulation.
Right.
And reaching orgasm through the clitoris, which means you could also include something in your vagina, but basically the clitoris was the seat of your pleasure. Okay, so one of the things they used in the workshop was a body massager. In other words, it wasn't even a vibrator. It was a body massager.
Was it the kind of thing you put on your hand? You put it on your hand. It slides over your hand. Oh,
no.
Okay,
but there's an interesting story about that, and that is a current male lover that Betty had discovered the hand, a vibrator, and brought it into his lovemaking with Betty. She writes about it in the book, and how she discovered, she happened to discover when she put her hand, or he put his hand on her clitoris with a vibrator, you know, that it was, wow, you know, fireworks went off. But that led her to finding it's called the Hitachi Magic Wand.
Yes, I know the Hitachi Magic Wand very well.
Yeah.
And all my friends have Hitachi Magic Wand.
Oh, yeah. I tell all women that no matter how many vibrators and different designs you get, you got to have the Hitachi. It's like having the basic one, you know?
Yeah.
I called it a woman's best friend, and many women called her that, and I called
right.
it Cadillac of all vibrators, which later other people picked up. Anyway, listen to this, Lori. I went to Macy's to buy one because it was an appliance. It wasn't really a sex toy.
Right.
It was an appliance. It was a body massager.
Right.
And the little ball at the end of it, you know, it's about the size of a peach that vibrates, and a long handle. And so I went to go get it, and I asked a salesman, where they sell body massages. And he said to me, "What do you want it for?" I just stood there with my mouth open, taken by surprise, and I finally managed to mutter, "Well, to massage my back, of course." You know,
right?
Right. So I went up to the floor. He told me to get where the vibrators were.
The body massagers, right.
Yeah, foot massages they had, back massages, things like that. And some of them were on a counter, like open, so you could check them out as a display. And there I see it. There's a magic wand. It's lying there. And I approach it stealthily. Da, 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 da. And I sat there, and I pick it up, and I turn it on.
You know, I have the little lever.
Yeah. And it makes a noise.
Yeah, like a lawnmower.
Well, not like a lawnmower, no, but there's a but there's a buzzing noise.
Right.
And you know what happened? I thought to myself, Lori, that everybody on the floor of Macy's, the seventh floor, or whatever floor was on, knew what I wanted it for.
Right.
The shame and the embarrassment.
Right.
Came up for me, and I thought, oh my goodness. Of course I did buy it, but I later thought, gee, do women have to go through that kind of a shameful experience in order to get a vibrator? You know, where would they go if they wanted one?
Yeah.
And I saw it as such a necessary kind of liberating tool for women that I began to encourage women who are their own little feminist, not exactly shops, but they sold little buttons and different feminist products, and tried to urge them to include the magic wand in the mix. And there was another vibrator that came out called the Prelude 2, which also, oh, these are electric.
You know, right, these are all electric, that's right.
Yeah, and the Prelude 2 has a long history, too. We could talk about that a little later. But anyway, I opened with these two vibrators. Oh, no. So I'm encouraging women to sell it, but nobody wanted to do it. So I decided, well, nobody's going to do it. I'm going to do it myself.
You were encouraging women to sell them.
Yeah, as be part of their wares.
And they didn't want to do it.
Yeah, they didn't. I guess they were too embarrassed to do it.
But wow.
For me, you know, it wasn't embarrassing. It was a necessity.
Yeah.
It was a necessity.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, and I wanted to get the idea across of being sexually liberated, because that's what the women's liberation movement was all about.
Absolutely.
Being liberated. So we had to become liberated from the shame and the guilt and other things that most women felt about their sexuality.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so,
Del, this is, go ahead. We're going to move up to a break in about another minute or so. So I wanted to just, say to you that this is like an amazing, I actually have never heard you tell this story so in such detail.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So this is, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful because I was one of the people, that was reading that book and liberating myself at that time. And I went right out and bought a Hitachi, and my whole women's group, everyone had them. And we had a fantasy that we would grow old together, and we would be, and you know, we would either be still with some men, or the men would have died off, or what, you know, we would grow old together, and we would get this big house somewhere, and we would all sit in rocking chairs.
Oh yeah, that was
porch,
right. That was from Betty.
With our Hitachis.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's right. She mentioned that in her book. Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, we had that fantasy that that's what we were going to do. So, I mean, it's amazing to talk to you. And really, that's why I call you the pioneer, because you.
Oh, yeah, and other people do.
Yeah, of
other
course.
Other people do, right.
Of course. So we're moving up to break now for a moment. So I just want to take a station break. If you've just tuned in, this is Laurie Handlers and Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com, and you are listening to me and my guest to this evening, Del Williams, who is the founder of Eve's Garden, a shop for women, the very first shop ever owned by a woman for women to discover themselves and purchase sexual paraphernalia without any stigma in a very safe and comfortable way. And Del is telling her stories this evening about how she started this in the early 70s, how she came in touch with it. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Del's going to tell us a whole bunch of other things that have to do with this and how our evolution is, how even Tantra Cafe is here, based on the fact that she had her store. So, and of course, her store is my sponsor, so thank you so much. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through EdenGarden.com/Tantra Cafe. Go there now.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex? Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex? Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Well, we're back, and I want to thank you all for staying tuned. This is Lori Handlers, and my guest this evening is the founder of Eve's Garden. Her name is Del Williams, and as I said before, she's a pioneer from the women's movement to all of women's sexuality, in that she opened the first store by a woman for women. And certainly I ordered my Hitachi from Eve's Garden. While Del and I were just on break, she said, okay, now let's have some tantric breathing. Mm-hmm. So in this segment, we're going to talk about how this all leads into Tantra. Mm-hmm. So, Del, you want to read us something?
Well, yeah, I sort of had it linked in, okay? This is the page, and we may even have it on our website. I don't know still. Anyway, it said, welcome to the garden. And it said, dear sisters, many years ago, I read The Function of the Orgasm by Dr. Wilhelm Reich. It startled me to discover the orgasm had a function. Was it not only the quintessence of love and lust? It had a function. Yes, it did. Aside from making you feel good, I emphasize feeling good, It was electrically charged energy that rippled through the body like an ocean wave. So here I'm beginning to talk about the Kundalini, but
right.
I didn't know anything about it then. But to me, it was this electrically charged energy, you know, that Tantra is all about. But let me finish this, that rippled through the body like an ocean wave, leaving in its bubbling wake a myriad of tingling, undulating sensations that swept away all body tension, bringing peace, contentment, and joy. It was the body renewing itself at the source of life.
Right.
As Betty Dodson, author of Sex for One, said, her book, later was picked up by a publisher, and the name was changed to Sex for One.
Right,
it used to be called
Liberating Masturbation.
Yeah, as Betty Dodson, author of Sex for One, said, sex is the regenerative force of life. Sex is life. It is birth and rebirth. Our sexuality gives us access to our power, power over our own lives, our own sexuality. And I just say this is the basic feminist philosophy of Eve's Garden. So how this kind of led into Tantra, about that time, Nick Douglas and Penny Slinger, had written, to my knowledge, the first book about Tantra, and heard about me and came to see me, and I saw their book. And that was my introduction to Tantra, to learning about it. And seeing that there's this connection that I assumed was the force of life is the whole philosophy of Tantra.
Right.
Right, Laurie?
Right.
It's the force of life. It's, we separated our energy into like two different energies. And,
right.
But our sexuality is our life force. And we, it's controlled by what do you call it? Those, you know, when you put a knob on, turn radio on and off, you're controlling the
speed
of it. Right. The pitch and the, so when you're stimulating each other, where you're into the essence of making love, of stroking, of touching, of breathing, you are just turning it up too high. But it's
right.
The same life force that you use all the time. You use it to create. You use it to function. You use it to run. You use it to live. It's the life force. You know,
exactly.
It's not something hidden in the black. And I got very excited about the whole philosophy of Tantra. And later took a few Tantra, you know, workshops myself.
Great.
A wonderful man. I have to give him a little boost here. His name is Alan Lowen, and he ran these wonderful workshops in Hawaii on what he called the art of being. They're just beautiful, where he introduces Tantra. And, of course, also, the name of his work is The Art of Being. And then there's, of course, Carol and Charles Muir, who have their workshop in Hawaii. And
Charles has been on this show, just so you know.
Oh, yes.
Charles has been a guest on my show in the early, I mean, when I first started Tantra Cafe, just a few months after, Charles was my guest, and we had a great time. We had a really great time on the show,
Right, right. And Alan Lowen may be someone you want to also invite.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but, I at that time I was writing an article for a women's newspaper, and one of the articles I wrote about had to do with this basic feminist, basic force, life force, and realizing that sexuality is something that we can engage in till we die. You know,
well,
like
this
you
is,
mentioned 80s, 70s.
Yeah, this
80s,
is what I'm saying on the beginning of the show. You don't have to, have to be limited by age. You can still, the more you stimulate your vital life force, which is your sexual energy, the younger you stay, the more vibrant you are. It just makes sense.
Right. That's why your workshops are so important, because you're bringing it, and you're really, you know, sort of maybe third in line in doing the workshops. I hear a lot of other women, I'm teaching Tantra, you know.
And that's, well, everyone's a Tantra teacher now.
Yeah, right.
It's very in vogue.
Yes, yes.
I'd say I'm on the third rung. Maybe this, I'm like second and a half rung, something like that when I
you're
started.
Sort of the second rung. Right.
Yeah. But let's go back for 1 second, because you didn't say the name of Nick and Penny's book, and I think we should say it because it's a classic. And that book that Dale mentioned is called Sexual Secrets.
Right.
It's a very big, you can get it in hardcover or paperback. It's a very large type coffee table size book. And it has gorgeous, it has fabulous information in it. And it has gorgeous illustrations by Penny Slinger. So if you're looking for that book, it's a classic. And it's called Sexual Secrets by Nick Douglas and Penny Slinger. I never met Nick, but I know Penny.
Yeah. And there is there are subsequent other books that have been written, of course, including yours. But before that, there's Tantra Sex for Women, two books on Tantra Sex for Women, and Urban Tantra.
Urban Tantra, that's my friend Barbara Corrales. She's
Corrales.
Been on this show.
Yes.
She is a guest, has been a guest on my show,
Yes. And, so it's coming into the mainstream. And it's what is so wonderful about it too, Laurie? It's beginning to connect. We're beginning to see the connection between our spirituality, which is basic, our spirit, our life force, and sexuality. And beginning to understand that when we make love with a partner or to ourselves, we are honoring the sacred. We are
That's
honoring
right.
the God goddess that created us all, you know, not, and we look at it not from a particularly religious sense, but a spiritual sense to see how it releases us. And I, you know, I'm not the only person who's yelled, "Oh God," at the peak of an orgasm, right? I'm sure.
Right.
Many
right.
Or, have yelled out, "Oh God," because
oh, God.
This is beyond anything we could have ever experienced. You know, this is the beyond that we talk about in religion, that, you know, the creator. That's it. And,
that's right.
I remember doing that, and I was an atheist. Agnostic at least, you know, didn't believe in a God. But, you know, I believe you can find God through orgasm, through sexual pleasure, through...
Exactly.
Through
exulting. Yeah, it doesn't mean that God is out there.
Right.
You know, like in somewhere up above us. It could mean that God is in us. All the creation, the creative force is in us, and that,
right.
You know, and that's what you're discovering, the divine, the divinity inside you.
Right, right. And that's
yeah.
what the world needs now, is
yeah.
love, sweet love, you know, and the divinity that goes with it. Yes.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Oh, yes. Which is why, in a sense, I kind of turned to, here's a woman who never believed in God, and yet when I saw... and could understand that spirit was something that was God, you know, that was life force. I went into the new seminary, and I took a 2-year course to become an interfaith minister with the hope, you know, I could see myself standing on street corners kind of talking about sex and spirit, you know, come all you heathens. And but age caught up with me, and I'm not active enough right now in my 80s. I'm in my 80s, folks, to do that. But there is a connection, and there certainly was a connection in the early days where women were worshipped as the, you know, basic force of life, and the symbol of the female genital, which is now being called, well, which I love the name Yoni,
mm-hmm.
to refer to our genitals, was revered, you know, it was,
yes,
it was, it was, became a ritual, a rite, you know, a sacred rite. And that's how we come to be able to love and honor ourselves and other people, and I think I'm just kind of going on and on, but
well, listen, you're hitting all of it, so
yeah,
I'm excited. I want to ask you about something else for a moment. I just want to change the subject for a moment, and that is, you were in a film. You were featured in a film a year
oh, yes.
or so ago.
Yes.
Tell us what the name of the film is, and
yes,
and what the film was about.
Okay, the film. Or was the name of it was Passion and Power, The Technology of Orgasm is the subtitle.
Mm.
And two women produced it, Wendy Slick and Omiko Omori. Omiko had before won a prize for her film on the Japanese subjugation during the war. But anyway, these two women produced this wonderful show based on the book, The Technology of Orgasm,
mm-hmm.
which is the story of the, written by Rachel Maines, the name of her book, which we have, of course, is called The Technology of Orgasm, Hysteria, in quotes, The Vibrator, and Women's Sexual Satisfaction. So this film was basically about how the vibrator came to be. How it was created in the early or late 1800s. And that doctors used it to treat women of a disease, in quotes, an illness called hysteria, which was a term used for women who were a little frustrated because they weren't enjoying sexuality. And superimposed on the film is also how the government in Texas wanted to actually almost did put a woman in prison because she was selling vibrators. So, and I happen to be in it, and it's based on the book, and it's a wonderful little historical thing about how the vibrator came into being and current laws banning its sale in several states. And there's still a ban on several states that still ban it. Texas recently just repealed that law. But anyway, that is the film, and I have the pleasure to be in it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I didn't make it. I was invited to the opening that night at the Lincoln Center, but I think
You didn't come to the opening.
No, I had a conflict. I was on the road somewhere. Who knows? You know, I'm always somewhere, so.
Yeah.
I'm always teaching out of town and somewhere, so I was somewhere. I wasn't in the New York area at the time, but I heard it was a phenomenal event, so I wanted to ask you about that. We're going to take a little break here for a moment. I just want to tell people, I want to identify who I'm speaking to. In case you've just tuned in, I'm speaking to Della Williams, the founder of Eve's Garden, the first woman-owned store for sexual education, paraphernalia, pleasure, a pioneer. And we're having a marvelous time. So I hope you're all having a marvelous time. I am. Anyway, please stay tuned. If you want to get in touch with us, first of all, if you'd like to order anything from Eve's Garden, I'm going to give a little plug for Eve's Garden and myself. You can go to www.evesgarden.com/tantracafe because Eve's Garden is my sponsor. You can go to the Tantra Cafe page and you will see me and you will see me, the products that I recommend, that you get from Eve's Garden. They're the products that I recommend in my workshops and, you can order them easily there. So please take a look at that, maybe on this break. And we'll be right back with Tantra Cafe.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
I, Lori Handler, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India, November 19th to December 1st, 2008. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king Akbar. You'll experience Jaipur, the pink city, and visit the sacred lake of Pushkar. Then, at dawn from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. You'll tour Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment, and then you'll explore the exotic Kamasutra temples of Khajuraho. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paraganj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, you'll learn tantric techniques and principles, and I promise you'll feel a tremendous sense of well-being as we delve into these simple yet potent tantric tools. Please note that no previous experience with tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India. And I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
For more information about this exciting tantric tour of the heart of India, contact Lori at butterflyworkshops.com or write to her at info@butterflyworkshops.com.
Well, welcome back. I am so happy this evening to have my guest, Del Williams, on the show. This is just a fabulous, it's like a dream come true show for me, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Before we go back to Del, I just want to mention the music you just listened to is Gate Gate by Deva Premal, and it's on her Love is Space album. Gate Gate means, well, it's a whole chant in Sanskrit. Gate Gate Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha, and that in Sanskrit means gone beyond, beyond the beyond, hail the awakened ones. And so I played that specifically this evening because of Del. I feel that Del went beyond the beyond in a time when it was needed, when it was needed to, for somebody to go beyond the beyond. And she did that, and she provided a tremendous service and education and lots of things stirred and spurted as a result of Del's courageousness in the area of opening up her shop, Eve's Garden. So we're back, and Del, tell the listeners a little something about the store. Like, what does it look like? Where is it located?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's right in the middle of New York City on fabulous 57th Street. The same block as Carnegie Hall on the other side, and you go up to the 12th floor. It's not ground level, so it keeps, you know, a more discreet face. And it is, it's just beautifully furnished, and we have paintings all over, and, we have one, like two rooms. One is for liberating toys and other lovely pleasurable scents and other things that we can enjoy. Plus we have a wonderful sexuality library, includes many books on the basics of sexuality, including tantra books, and also liberating videos by some of the wonderful people who have been producing, or you know, videos, what they're called now, DVDs, is it?
Yeah, DVDs,
so
uh-huh.
You know, so we stress the educational part of sexuality. We believe at one time sexuality was an integral part of our daily lives at some time, you know.
Yeah.
And it somehow got separated, but now it's, you know, as I say, the creator of life is, it's important to see how important it is for our well-beingness. and our health. More and more doctors are beginning to acknowledge it, you know, which has never been spoken about before.
Right.
So,
right.
So there's a whole resurgence, and it's only through liberating our sexual energy that we liberate both ourselves and free us from the so many things that have repressed us and kept us down. And,
well,
and in the case of women particularly, Eve's Garden was named sort of symbolic of Eve being all women and the garden being our half of the world, or our coming back into the world, Eve's Garden.
Well, Del, that, we have to wind up now. That's
yes.
really the end of our show. And you could, I mean, you just segued into that beautifully. So,
mm-hmm.
Eve's Garden, thank you so much for being my sponsor.
Oh,
I'm so appreciative. I mean, we fit like hand in glove. I'm so happy. I honor you, Del, and I love you. You're just a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Thank you
so much for being my guest.
Thank you, and I love what you're doing with your workshops and your books and everything.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to just sign off now with, I'm going to let people know that one of the people who makes sexual DVDs is my guest on next week's show, Kenneth Ray Stubbs, and I'm sure his DVDs are included at Del's store.
Oh, yes.
Again, if you want to order something, you can go to evesgarden.com/tantracafe. You'll see my page, and that's how you can go right into the whole rest of the store. Mail order, you can go to 57th Street in Midtown Manhattan. And this is Laurie Handlers signing off from saying namaste from Tantra Cafe. See you next time.